Jo, nu budget så at lyst la hoi, har jo at lak vel chilla luk as et sum. Today is July 18th, Saturday. We're almost done with our third July week of this course. After tomorrow, we will have an 11-day break between July 19th and July 30th, and then on just starting July 30th, we will begin our three August weekends. So I also want to talk to you before we leave today about what the schedule for the rest of our course is going to look like, and also what we want to spend time on during our three August weekends. As I just mentioned to you all, but I will say again because now I'm recording myself for posterity, I have two main topics to talk to you about today. The first is about synthesis versus analysis. How are they different, and how are these concepts useful to us when we are studying and learning about and teaching Nichanov? The second topic has to do with special words for water. That is, we have special words for talking about wanting water, which is naqmeha, to be thirsty for water, and also to give water to someone, to serve water to someone. There's a special word for that, which is nakhoti. If you look at conversation 3 in unit 13, this conversation is quite short and might appear simple, but it is not. There's a lot to know in order to have even a simple conversation like this. A asks, Akitsk, what are you eating or drinking? Akitsk. 1B response is, Tea eats. Tea eats. I'm drinking tea. This is one word with three meaningful parts. Tea eats. We will be calling this a synthetic construction because we've taken several meaningful things and put them into a single word. This is synthesis. This is opposed to the other 3B answer, Quakmis u eats. I'm eating herring eggs. Quakmis u eats. This is an analytic construction, whereas in the first response, tea eats, the suffix verb eats is in the same word with its object, the thing that is being eaten or drunk. In the other 3B, kwakmis u eats, the two meaningful parts are in separate words. Kwakmis is its own word, and u eats is its own word. So the first B response is the synthetic response, the second B response is the analytic response. Now let's consider a synthetic and an analytic sentence with that mean exactly the same thing. So instead of the synthetic tea eats, which is just one word, a one-word sentence, we could split this into two separate words and say u eats tea. I'm drinking tea. U eats tea. There's nothing wrong with saying it that way. So with some words like tea, we have a choice. Between the synthetic or the analytic construction. As far as I know, we cannot make a synthetic construction with quakmus. So, in order to do that, we would need to add the suffix eats to quakmus, and I don't know how to do that. I've never heard an elder put it that way. So, as far as I know, it's not possible. So, sometimes we have both constructions are available to us, sometimes only the analytic construction is available. For a slightly more complex example of synthesis versus analysis, we can look at conversation 5. In conversation 5, A asks, what would you like to eat or drink? The question is a one-word sentence, akahsak. So this one-word sentence is an example of synthesis, akahsak. Take a look at the third and fourth A lines in conversation 5. Tea hsak, would you like tea? Tea hsak. This is a one-word synthetic question. Compare that to the next sentence. Oh sak si sitzkuk, would you like rice? Oh sak si sitzkuk. This is an analytic construction. They have very similar structures. Tihsak asks, would you like tea? Ohsak si sitzkuk asks, would you like rice? But With TSOC, we're going for the synthetic construction. With CCitzcook, we're going for the analytic construction. And that choice has to do with the words T and CCitzcook. T is a very short, easy to pronounce stem that is very easy to add endings to. So it frequently participates in synthetic constructions. CCitzcook, on the other hand, is a longer, more complicated word that is harder to pronounce and combines with endings less readily. So CCitzcook typically will not participate in synthetic constructions. So usually or often the choice between the synthetic versus the analytic construction will come down to how long and complicated your stems are. If you have a long, complicated stem, you will be unlikely to synthesize it with other meaningful parts. Are you all with me so far on the concepts of synthesis versus analysis? You are not expected at this point to be able to predict which words will synthesize and which ones won't, but I hope that you have some understanding at this point of the difference between synthesis versus analysis as concepts. Yes. Depending on what we're saying, sometimes we have a choice between synthesis and analysis. Other times we can only do analysis. And occasionally we can only do synthesis. For an example of where we have to do synthesis, take the very first sentence in conversation five. Akehsak. What would you like to eat or drink? Akehsak. This would sound unnatural in an analytic construction. I could imagine putting it in an analytical way, but it would be really weird. That would be Akechisk-ohsa. No one would say that. Because these parts really want to synthesize. As a general rule, when Nuchanoff is able to synthesize, it does so. To go back to conversation three, what do you, Akeitsk, what are you eating or drinking? Tea eats, I'm drinking tea. Kwakmis, o eats, I'm eating herring eggs. We want to be able to do this for any kind of food. This unit gives you the names of about 8 or 10 different common foods. There are many more words for food, and for each one, we will sometimes have to make the decision either to synthesize it with an ending like eats or not to synthesize it. How do we make that decision? In order to explain that, I've created this table that I'm now projecting for you. This table ought to be in your unit. I haven't had time to incorporate it yet into the current version. It will be in future versions of the unit. What this table shows is some of the foods and drinks that this unit is about and how they combine with two of the endings that we're learning. The ending eats or eas, meaning to eat or drink something, and the ending hsa, meaning to want food or drink. The most straightforward word is tea. By itself, this word is pronounced tea. When we mean drinking tea, it is pronounced tea eats in Central and Northern dialects. Tea eats, drinking tea. When we want to say desiring tea, we will say tea hsa, desiring tea. Tea hsa. This table shows how these endings combine straightforwardly with the stem T. In Barkly Sound dialects, those two forms will be T-E-S, drinking tea, T-E-S, and T-H-S-A, wanting tea, T-H-S-A. The other stems in this table are less straightforward. Let's take the next one, Ch'uk. Ch'uk is water. Before we can add these endings to water, we have to take off the ending uk. Uk is an aspect ending. It marks the continuous aspect. So ch'uk, although it is a noun, it is marked for continuous aspect. If we take off the ending uk, we're left with the stem ch. Then to say drinking water In central and northern dialects, we'll say cha eats. Cha eats. In Barkley dialects, we'll say che is, drinking water. Che is. So we have a question about an old word. The word apparently is chehset, which means something like alcoholic beverage. Chehset. The question is, can this take an ending like hsa? So can we say something like chehset hsa, wanting to drink alcohol? Chehset hsa. And the answer is, I don't know. First of all, I don't know the word chehset. Second, since I've never heard it used, I'm not sure whether it takes endings or not. So when in doubt, you should generally avoid synthesis. So since I don't know how to use it, I would probably say ohsa chehset to be safe. Ohsa chehset. So that's a good example of when one reason to not to synthesize when you're not sure if two things can go together. Oh yeah, thanks for pointing that out. Yeah, Tess just pointed out that chehset sounds like it means spirit water, and it certainly does. The root cheh means ghost or monster. Sit means liquid, so chehset might mean ghost liquid, monster liquid. After tea, the most straightforward stem in this unit is kawitz, meaning potato. In central dialect, we can say kawitzits for eating potatoes. Kawitzits. Notice that the C hardens because eats is a hardening ending. Also, the vowel of the ending is short because eats contains a weak long vowel. These are two additional complications that you have to worry about when synthesizing this ending with various stems. Desiring potatoes will be kawitzhasa. Kawitzhasa. The ending hasa also contains a weak long vowel. So after tihsa, the vowels are long, long, but in kawitzhasa, the vowels are long, short, short. Kawitzhasa. And I'll continue going through these forms just in central dialect. After I finish the table, I'll go back and do every form in the Barkley Sound dialect. The following stems get more and more complicated as we go along. Some of these, for including tlimtsit, sepni, and kwapi, have special bound stems. Tlimtsit, sepni, and kwapi are the forms that these words take when they're used by themselves. But when they take a suffix, they tend to change form a little bit into a combining form. And those combining forms are written in the second column. So that shows you that the combining form of tlimtsit is tlimsh. That hyphen after tlimsh indicates that this stem is never used alone. It's always used when followed by a suffix. Similarly, the stem for sepni is sepnik, ending in a q, and the stem for kwapi is kwapik, also ending in a q. It is very common in New Chanelth to build bound stems that end in the letter q. Q is a way that the language uses for capping a bound stem to make it easier to add further endings. So for each one of these stems, broth, sweets, bread, bannock bread, that is, and coffee, we'll go through the word as said by itself, tlimtsit, the way it's said with the eating suffix, tlimyits, to eat broth, and how it's said with the desiring suffix. Beginning with broth, by itself, this word is tlimtsit. Tlimtsit. Eating broth is tlimyits. Tlimyits. I am not sure how to say desiring broth. So, to be safe, I will avoid synthesizing this stem with this ending. And if I want to say I desire broth, I'll say ohsas tlimtsit. I feel like eating broth. I desire broth. Ohsas tlimtsit. Sweet by itself is chumas. Eating sweets is chumayits. Notice that the S of chumas turns into a hard Y. Chumayits. This is a special kind of hardening. Desiring sweets, chamashasa. This form at least is regular. Chamashasa. Bannock bread, central dialect, is sapani. Sapani. Eating bannock bread, sapneits. Sapneits. The Q of the bound stem hardens to a pharyngeal. Sapneits. Desiring bannock bread, sapnikasa. Sapnikasa. Coffee by itself is kwapi. Kwapi. Drinking coffee, kwapeits. Kwapeits. Desiring coffee, kwapikasa. Kwapikasa. Now we'll go through each of those forms in Barkley Sound dialect. I'll say the word alone, then the eating or drinking form, then the desiring form. Tea. Teas. Teesa. Chuck. Cheese. And we're going to skip the form for now for desiring water. Kawats. Kawatsis. Kawatsasa. Klimsit. Klimyis. For desiring broth, I would say ohsa klimsit. I'll use an analytic construction. Ohsa klimsit. Chamas. Chamayis. Chamashasa. Sapnin. Sapneis. Sapnekhasa. Kwapi. Kwapeis. Kwapekhasa. Now that you know these forms, that is how to combine these foods with the endings for eating or drinking and for desiring food or drink, you can mix them into conversation five. Conversation five just uses water, tea, coffee, rice, and potatoes, but now you can use it with all of these foods. You will still run into situations where you're not sure whether to synthesize or analyze. And the rule of thumb you should use is, when in doubt, do not synthesize. That concludes the remarks I wanted to share about analysis versus synthesis. Josh, did I answer your question? The question is, why do we get a hard Y in the words klimyis, eating soup, and chamayis, eating sweets? This is a special kind of hardening that only happens between stems and suffixes. It does not happen between stems and clitics. If you don't know what the difference between a suffix or clitic is, then you're not ready to ask this question. But the difference between suffixes and clitics is clarified in our word structure handout, which some of you have seen. This special kind of hardening only happens between stems and suffixes, and only when the stem ends in a spirant sound. So the stems klimsh and chamas both end in spirants. S is a spirant. S wedge is a spirant. And so what happens in this particular case is the spirant becomes a glottalized resonant. It is a very unusual kind of hardening that is only found in a few words. I say few, you know, we're talking about dozens of words, so it's not that few. But it's not that common. It's rare enough that you can memorize all the cases where it happens. To give you another example, I think most many of you know the word tohatsiti for head, tohatsiti. When we talk about eating heads, for example, fish heads, which are a delicacy for some people, the word is to'uis in Barkly dialect. To'uis. So the root of tohatsiti is toh, which ends in a back H, which the back H happens to be aspirant. When we add the ending "-ese to that, the back H hardens into a glottalized W. So tohatsiti becomes to'uis. That's another example of where aspirant hardens to a glottalized resonant. So if we look at all of our food words, we can classify them according to whether or not they're likely to synthesize. Let's just go to the words of our unit. Just look at the words for food and drink, and for each one, I'll tell you whether it's likely to synthesize or not. We've had a request for the table I just showed you, so I think what I'll do is I'll just email that to you. I'll make a one-page PDF of it and email it to all of you after class today. And that reminds me that we had another request yesterday from Vicky. What did she ask for? Oh yeah, she wanted the reference to the source of the family name Wakashin. What was the channel that word traveled from the people of Friendly Cove through Captain Cook to J.W. Powell, who named the language family? That is another thing that I will share with you by email. Let's take a word at our words for take a look at our words for food and drink. So I'm looking at the How's It Cloaked version of the Unit 13 words. The words for food and drink start with klimtsit, broth, and continue through tlupchu, sapni, papatsak, kawitsi, seetskuk, chamas, chamas, sitchak, ti, kwapi, sant, papa, tasatyak, mamut. The two stems out of all of these food words, the two stems that are most likely to synthesize are ti and the root of water, cha. In addition, the stem kawits for potato also easily synthesizes. Most of the other, all of the other stems either are not likely to synthesize or synthesize in an irregular fashion. The ones that synthesize in an irregular fashion include cha, the root for water, as well as the stem of sapni, of chamas, and of kwapi. Generally speaking, the longer and more complicated the word, the less likely it is to synthesize. So I have never heard papatsak or sisitskuk or chamasit synthesize with a following ending. Those would be the least likely to synthesize. And there are other words that are kind of on the boundary. So sant, papa, mamut, these words are pretty short. We might expect them to synthesize easily. But because it's unusual to say eating salt, eating pepper, one never hears those synthesized with the endings "-ese", or "-eats". As for mamut, I expect that this will pretty easily synthesize with the ending "-eats". So I expect that we can probably say mamutits to mean eating leftovers that one has taken home. If I take home some leftovers from a feast and then I eat them the next day, I might say mamutitsats. Now I'm eating leftovers. Mamutitsats. But I have not double-checked that with a fluent speaker. The second topic for today's lecture has to do with some special words for talking about water. You'll notice that when we went over that table of synthesis, I skipped the cell where we would have said desiring water. Why did I skip that cell? It's because there's already a good word for desiring water, which is nakmeha. I could say, oh sas chaak. I feel like drinking water. Oh sas chaak. But it would be weird to say that because there's a much better way to say that, which is nakmehas. I'm thirsty. Nakmehas. Similarly, unlike in English, where I can say, "Are you thirsty? Well, what would you like to drink?" When I ask you naqmehak in Nuchanalf, I'm specifically meaning, "Are you thirsty for water? Do you want some water?" Naqmehak. Another special word that has to do with water that we are getting in this unit is naqoti. We're learning a word for serving food, which is chamayi. Chamayi. Generally, chamayi is used for serving food that's in a serving dish. So it's in a dish or on a plate. It's a big chunky thing. That's the kind of thing we serve using the word chamayi. If we're talking about passing something, like passing the salt or pepper, then the better word would be hini. Hini, because you're just passing it. You're not serving it on a platter, you're passing it. But if you're serving someone water, you will want to use the word nakoti. Nakoti. So these words, nakmeha, nakoti, are an example of when instead of synthesizing a stem with an ending, we will just go to a completely different word because there happens to be a perfect word for that particular purpose. Those are the two topics of today's lecture. Topic one was synthesis versus analysis. Topic two is specialized words and how those sometimes mean that we will completely avoid combining certain stems with certain endings. And I'll open it up to questions and discussion now. Chooch. Well, the exercise I just outlined to you is a little simpler than that. So here's several steps that I recommend in the order in a particular order for your learning. So step one is to memorize the words for food and drink in the unit, of which there are about 15, I guess. Step two is for each word, say the word alone, then the word for eating that thing, then the word for desiring that thing, without any mood endings. So just tea eats, tea hsa. Once you can do that, then you can try having a mini conversation with a partner. Say, you use conversations three and five to ask, Akitsk, what are you eating? Tea eats, I'm drinking tea. Akitsk, what are you eating? Papats akt eats. I'm eating bread. With conversation five, the exchange would be something like akhsak, ohsas chamasit, akhsak, sapnikhsas. I desire bannock. So do you see how each of these exercises builds on and is a little more complicated than the one before? First, memorize the words, then learn how to build them with suffixes, then put them into complete sentences in the context of a mini conversation. I see Carla is asking a question about eggs. That is one of the words that differs across dialects. Josh knows the word kenhama. That's the word in central regions in the north, but dialects differ regarding whether kenhama, the word for egg, has a back H or a back X, and in whether the M is plain or hard. So some dialects say kenhama, some say kenhama, some say kenhama. Barkley dialects have their own word for egg, which is nutchuk, hard N, hard ch, nutchuk.